Welcome to Sunday Sermons and other recordings from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis, California. Please visit our website at www.uudavis.org for further information.
Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis. My name is Alex Hayter-Winnett, and I am your ministerial intern and campus minister.
My name is Megan Kelly, and I'm your worship associate this morning. We are so glad that you are here with us today.
As Unitarian Universalists, we believe that all people are worthy of dignity. No matter who you are, how you identify, the people you love, no matter the family of origin or the people you have chosen, no matter the money in your pocket or where you spent the night, no matter your questions about life, the universe, God, or whatever, all of you are welcome here.
To acknowledge all that is being held by the people in this room, we light one pillar candle for the sorrows of the world, for the moments that weigh heavy on our hearts. We light a second pillar candle for the joys of the world, for the moments of hope and celebration. Come, let us worship together. We light this chalice in thanks for all who have gone before, for all who have cleared the way, and serve as guiding lights when the days grow dim. We never go it alone. May our time together today help us to remember this. This morning, our call to worship has words for you to share as well. The words are on the monitor as well as in your printed bulletin, and I will gesture when it is your turn to speak. From the busyness of every day, we gather once a week to remember who we are, to dream of who we might become. As companions on this journey, we share the milestones we meet along the way. Individual moments of joy and sorrow become shared moments of comfort and celebration. We share this journey across differences of belief and opinion because we value diversity and because we care for one another. Today, as we take the next steps, let us notice our fellow travelers, the burdens they carry, the songs that inspire their hearts. As we gather in beloved community, let us open the holy havens of our hearts. Let us share the sacred places of our souls, for we are pilgrims who share a common path.
We travel this road together.
I am not good at being still. I never have been. With work, I'm getting a little better at it, one step at a time. I know it is good for me to slow down. When I am overwhelmed, I feel better when I find ways to be still. Even if just for a moment, the stillness is refreshing. Due to my strained relationship with stillness, meditation can be challenging for me. In a labyrinth meditation, you don't have to be still. As I walk, my mind and nervous system slow down. The feeling of a hum or a vibration of a plane about to take off that I often feel when trying to meditate seated isn't there. I find myself focused and naturally settling into a pace that feels just right. I think of this as a stillness in motion, moving in a way that allow my heart and mind to settle into stillness. At one of the Davis Labyrinths, I found myself called to lay down when I reached the middle. I looked up at the bright blue sky, illuminated by the rising sun, with birds flying across it as punctuation. I felt my body shift against the cool morning ground as my lungs filled with air, receiving the next gift of breath. Walking many labyrinths brought me to this place of serenity in the middle of one of them. Eventually, I stood, thanked the space for allowing me these moments of peace, and slowly started to walk back out. As I walked back out, I was struck by how quickly I reached the outer ring. Not the end, but the ring of the pathway closest to the outside of the labyrinth. The path of a labyrinth leads from the center to the outermost ring quickly, and then further into the center again as you get closer to the end. It seems like the end and the beginning are one. Always so close together, yet so far away. After the moments of peace that I had received in the center, I was able to see a truth that had not always been available to me. Often what I need most is closer than I realize. I just need to slow down enough to find the stillness in motion to see it. I need to pause before jumping to conclusions or wait for the fuller picture to appear. In January of 2018, I was asked to support a different location within my company. At first, I was very upset and could only see the parts of the path that were hard and held hurting. By March, I realized I was more at home at this new location. I started to trust the path was ultimately going to lead me where I wanted to go, but that I might not be able to see the whole picture just yet. I requested a permanent transfer to this new center that I had been blind to the blessings of a few months before. In August, I received a promotion. This promotion has challenged me in all the best ways and brought me joy in my work that I had been lacking. When I first hear about changes, I am often upset. I resist. In these times, I need to remind myself to find a safe place of peace, to allow my body to slow and relax. I need to ignore the plane takeoff vibrations and take the time for my wholeness to settle. I need to discover how to help my body find this in the moment without a labyrinth. I know the solution is closer than I think. It is probably somewhere right in front of me. I just need to find the right stillness in motion to be able to experience it. Now you'll see some slides of some images of labyrinths that either Beth or I walked or that I found in preparation for this service.
So before I begin the sermon, I wanted to point out a couple of labyrinths that we have here in the sanctuary. So this is a finger labyrinth, and if you want to stay in the sanctuary later this morning, you're welcome to take this very soft cherry wood and trace with your finger. So this will be waiting for you as one labyrinth experience. There is a second one that is by the flowers. And the flowers look like a labyrinth in a way, as you will discover. So this you can do the labyrinth in the palm of your hand with a stylus. So if you feel sure-fingered, you can do this. And then you'll be invited to come out to the labyrinth, if you choose, that's in the pine grove. And I'll just say that Anne Hillman and Ted Swift maintain that for us as guardians of the ground, so you can thank them this morning as you see them. But that is really for all ages. It may not be totally meditative because it is next to the playground, where the children play. However, as I discovered in a recent trip to Grace Cathedral, when I was there, people were walking, looking at the art installation, walking through the labyrinth, and there we were, you know, kind of walking the labyrinth, and that's life. That's life. So the voices of children, people walking through the labyrinth when you're in the midst of, you know, thinking you're doing a serious meditation, well, that's life. So we hear a lot about the fact that we are moving so fast right now, and we need to slow down. But this is not the only time era when our bodies and minds are out of pace with our soul and spirit. This is not the only time era when this has been a concern. And this is the purpose of the labyrinth. And labyrinths have helped humanity experience the sacred for thousands of years. The labyrinth is an ancient pattern found in cultures around the world, and actually on in your order of service, there is a website that you can look at, and you can look and see where are the labyrinths in your area and around the world if you choose to make that your journey. Labyrinths have been found in Egyptian pyramid complexes, on petroglyph rock carvings on the Pacific Crest Trail. They are found in the ruins dating back to 5,000 years ago in Turkey. The design is found in First Nations, Native American art, and the Celts have labyrinths called never-ending circles. From what historians and archaeologists can tell, labyrinth designs consistently seem to be representations of spiritual pilgrimage and rituals of self-discovery. Unlike a maze, so the two are not the same, the maze has many different routes. It's more of a puzzle, an intellectual pursuit, because it also includes dead ends. Labyrinths offer only one pathway forward, and there are no wrong turns. It's my favorite kind of meditation. Reaching the goal at the very center is a certainty, and that waits for every person, everyone, to find it. The experience is more about the journey than the destination, and it's about being rather than doing. Journeying on a labyrinth is one way for our inner and spiritual life and our actions to catch up with each other. And we know what it can be like when we act without having time for reflection. Within a few years after I came to this congregation as a settled minister, the United States invaded Iraq. Much of the country was outraged and fearful, and people in Northern California were asked to come to a march in San Francisco. The organizers promised that rivers of protesters would flow through the streets of the city, and our presence could not be ignored by the press, by the White House. I had already been planning a weekend, that weekend in particular, in the city. Long before this protest was planned, a meditation retreat was scheduled at Grace Cathedral, and this was an irresistible combination for a minister. I registered for the retreat and made plans to join the protest with members of this church family and the family, my own family of origin. The cathedral retreat started at dusk. The doors closed to the public, and for one night, this magnificent cathedral would be shared by only 50 people. Imagine if you've been to Grace Cathedral. It is huge. Only you in this space. Different meditation groups with trained facilitators were in every alcove, and we were free to wander the cathedral. I couldn't believe my good fortune. We could try any kind of meditation we wanted. There was journal writing. There was calligraphy art with ink that faded away. And I have to say, as a writer, this was incredibly frustrating. There was yoga, chanting that echoed up into that particular alcove ceiling and back. And there was one discussion circle where people imagined spiritual animal guides and made the animal's noise to a rhythm signaled by the facilitator. And as I focused on giving voice to my own version of the dolphin's breath when it surfaces, I decided I really have arrived in California. I won't replicate that sound for you now, but I remember it very well. Much of what was in the cathedral, I would say we'd call New Age meditations, and they were meaningful. People enjoyed them. But the center point of everyone's focus was Grace Cathedral's labyrinth that filled that whole back of the sanctuary. Candles were lit around its circumference, and harp music drifted through the darkness. At any time, there were at least 30 people walking the labyrinth's pathway, and there really wasn't room for 30 people to walk freely. I thought this was a problem. Although there is no one right way to meditate on a labyrinth, there are four recommended stages to this process, and we will have a handout for you if you wish to use these in the Pine Grove later. First is reflecting, by pausing for just a moment before you even take that first step into the labyrinth. It's intended to be a moment of appreciation and gratefulness for all that is in life. And next, stepping into the labyrinth, releasing. That happens as you walk towards that inevitable center. And it's when cares and worries are left behind just for a time. And then in the center, when you arrive, the participants are usually quiet and ready to receive. Sometimes there are no expectations, and reaching the center is just the signal to begin to return, and you pivot and walk on out. But more often, people stood in the center, hands open, faces raised, waiting for the answer to some question that they had brought with them, or hoping for some sign of inspiration in life. At first, you know, I was a little self-conscious just to stand there, feeling so vulnerable with everyone waiting for their turn to be in the center. The final stage is the returning, going out the same way that you came in, but now having slowed down, life looks different. Everything seems different. But the journey, even though there's only one way in and one way out, is filled with surprises. The first pathway into the labyrinth takes the pilgrim directly toward the center, and then it turns abruptly and takes that pilgrim to the outermost circles. And just when you think you can anticipate the design of this route, it changes. It's only when you give up trying to figure it out that the meditation really begins. What looks orderly with a predictable pattern is filled with the unexpected. Poet Thomas Rhodes prays these words: "Lead us this day on the crooked path. So often we are in a hurry, taking the direct route to a goal." Rhodes asks that life lead us on the patterns of wandering, wandering streams and crooked trees. He asks to find ways to follow our heart's desire instead of never questioning what is expected of us. The crooked path, he assures, also leads us home. Even if we try to lay out a plan, a direct route for ourselves, life just doesn't allow it. The Jewish theologian Martin Buber wrote, "All journeys have a secret destination of which the traveler is unaware." And just when we think we might have found some answers, life changes the questions. You fall in love with someone who seemed Just not your type. You go to the SPCA just to look at the kittens. And you return home with, well, you know what happens. And you're lucky that they don't have ponies or baby hippos at the SPCA, because I know what people do on Facebook. They love those things. You think you have a retirement planned perfectly, and then your life partner is gone. Those seeking amnesty from the border who have come to Davis are living this message. And those of us who will choose to reach out to them will encounter unexpected changes in how we understand life. And if you want to know more about this, please read your bulletins in the future. The Labyrinth Journey rehearses mind and body and spirit for those unexpected turns, because almost every moment you are on that labyrinth, there's an unexpected turn. Those who frequently walk a labyrinth begin to anticipate how the path goes right when we expect left, sends us towards the outer edge when we think we want to go to the center. And you can see, just by watching the people, who has learned this lesson, because they walk with a kind of resiliency in their body as they move. That night, we took that journey from the entrance of the labyrinth to the center and back out again, over and over again. Reflect, release, receive, return. Some of the participants carefully walked within the boundaries of the path, balancing and measuring the length of each stride, trying to make it equal. And they stayed still when they came face to face with another person on their way out, because there's no turn lane for oncoming foot traffic. So there you are, face to face, stuck. But there are others who saw the pathway only as a suggestion, and they headed toward the center and back out again, spinning and turning in a free form kind of ecstasy. And at first, I can say that the two styles didn't work well together. Those who measured their steps would be frozen in place. The ecstatic spinners were careening around wide-eyed people, just watching. But we learned. And as a group, we discovered that staying perfectly within the lines of the path wasn't as important as our relationship to each other. We learned to be aware and to let go of fear. We created space for each other, stepping out of bounds and then moving back into the journey. It worked. The most important part of that experience was to make sure that everyone found the way to the center, had time they needed to be receiving at that center, and then to return again. The relationship with each other was as meditative as that beautiful design on the floor, the light and the darkness, or the music. And here's the truth. We discovered we were not alone, but rather we had become a community of people who made space for each other's experience of the sacred and our ways of being in the world. I've returned to the labyrinth many times, almost seasonally, and every time there is some different inspirational lesson. But for what I would face that next day on the streets of San Francisco, the message of the necessity of experiencing life outside of strict boundaries and learning how to move with a river of people, this was the inspiration that I needed. In the morning, after sleeping on the very cold cathedral floor in a sleeping bag, we heard the drums and the chanting as protesters moved through the streets. Our retreat ended, and the time had come to re-enter the world again. The cathedral doors opened. Silence, cool air was behind us. And in front of us, the noise was deafening, the colors far too brilliant, and the pace was relentless. We stepped into the river of people flowing through that street, turning, shifting, and we moved toward the center, ready to begin again, stepping into the street and becoming a part of that river. And to that I say, amen. And may we all be ready to step into that river. Amen. I invite you into a time of remembrance for Janice Nichols. Her celebration of life service will be Saturday, April 6th at 2 p.m., and we will have more information about that service in the future. But when a member of this community passes, we take a moment in the service to remember them. Whether you knew Janice or not, you are a part of this community by virtue of being in this space. And so I invite you, in body or spirit, to rise and to take hands around the room. And if you're next to someone who needs to sit, please be with them and allow them to sit and join with them. And this is for Janice Nichols, who had been a part of this church for so many years and returned only recently. She loved this. Each of us is a part of an intricate web of relationships. When one of us celebrates a joy or grieves a loss, the web of life moves to a new shape. We are a part of the turn of the earth, the shift of the stars, the pull of the sea, and all change. Just one moment of quiet. Amen. 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 Our time of prayer and meditation, as you can imagine, has a lot to do with being still and holding this space and going within. And so expect to be with this meditation for a while. So I invite you to be in a comfortable position, because there you will be. I invite you into a time of silence where you hold your own joys and sorrows. This prayer by the Reverend Gretchen Haley. If you had the chance to start again, to make your life from scratch, to decide what sort of person you would be, who you would love, and how you'd spend the content of your days, your hours, what songs would you sing to yourself or with others? What prayers would you let fall from your lips urgently and with praise, with mercy or hope? What blessings would you name and share with strangers and friends? if you had the chance to start again, if you could take now that first step, what journey would you begin across deserts or mountains? Or would you take to the sky, which despite the bitter cold is still vast and filled with light? What work would you take? What mischief would you make with boldness and bravery? What failure would you embrace? And what would you release? And where in the end would you return and call home? No magic wishing or wondering is required, for such a chance is always available. As with the in and out of our breath, to begin now, to live like we mean it, to see with new eyes the life that is already and always available, to respond to this gift with wonder and gratitude, to join in this partnership, to tend this flame, even when it breaks our heart, to keep showing up, to go into our days and nights with courage, with courage, with courage. Amen. And blessed be.
If you would like words to guide you through a labyrinth following the service, I have those with some little directions and guidelines. Please join hands around the room. Blessed is the path on which you travel. Blessed is the body that carries you upon it. Blessed is your heart that has heard the call.
Blessed is your mind that discerns the way. And blessed is the gift that you will receive by going. Truly blessed is the gift that you will become on that journey. May you go forth in peace, and let this congregation say amen.
Amen.